God. Well, without any further ado, I want to ask my sweetie to come on up. Rhonda's going to bring this word to you today. It's a real interesting word that the Lord gave her. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was crucified from what? The foundation of the world. And God mysteriously wrote his plan into nature, into many other things about what he was going to do in this world. And so Rhonda's going to share something that the Lord showed her that was written for all of us to see. So, honey, God bless you. Yes, she wants me to pray for her. Everybody reach out your hand. Father, I just pray you bless my wife. I'm not worried at all. She's not either, because it's you that does the work. We're just a tool and a vessel. We're in our Father's house. We cannot fail, because our Father doesn't judge us by performance. And so, God, I thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke, and the anointing is what teaches, not us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Handsome hunk of a man. We've been married 32 years, and I'm glad. I still think he's a handsome hunk. Praise God. Well, you know, revelation is wonderful, and God is the revelator. And all you have to do is ask him, and he will give you revelation. But he needs for you to get still and get quiet so that he can speak to you. And this past week, that's what I did, or a couple of weeks ago, that's what I did. I just got still and got quiet and asked him for revelation, and he is so good. He's a good father, and he cares about his kids. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's a dad that spends time. He's a dad that's face to face. He's always there. When you call to him, he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you didn't know. And I didn't know this, and he showed it to me. It blew me away. But, you know, revelation brings thankfulness, and thankfulness brings worship. You know, and that's what it did. I was so thankful that he showed me this, and then I just had a heart of worship, and I just began to worship him, and he was tearing me up back here earlier. I'm so thankful that we have a heart of worship in this house, and that we recognize who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Well, let's look at Genesis 2:10. I'm calling this Four Rivers. We'll read it in the NIV. And I just want to use this as my backdrop. And I want you to understand that numbers and names in the Bible are very important. I'm sure you know that. The more you dig into those numbers and names and what they mean, the richer the word is. I hear people say all the time, well, I read the word and just nothing happens. I just don't get anything out of it. Well, read as a student. Don't just read the word, but pick it apart and look at the numbers and the names and all that. Look them up and find out what they mean. Okay, verse 10, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden, where there it was separated into four headwaters. There's a number right there, four. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there's gold. The gold of this land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. Some translations say lapis is there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. All right. So, since numbers and names are significant, I started looking at numbers. So, let's start with number four. There are four rivers. Right? Four is the number for God's creation and the world. Okay? It means he's doing something in his creation. Look at this. Look at the fours that are in creation. There's four seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter, right? There's four regions, north, south, east, and west. Yes? Four basic elements, earth, air, fire, water. Jason and fire, because then I'd have to disco. So earth, air, fire, and water. I'm dating myself. Four phases of the moon: new moon, first quarter, full moon, and third quarter. Okay? So all in the elements, all in creation, all in the world, we see fours. And there's a lot more. There's a ton more. These are just some that I wanted to use as examples. So there were four rivers, okay? Let's look at the first river. First, one. I'm going to do the number, and then I'm going to do the name of each river. Because I want you to grab a hold of what the Lord is saying in this. The number one points to unity, specifically the Godhead. He is the Alpha, the beginning of all things. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was, yes, and then the beginning was God. In the beginning, God. Then Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What's he telling us? He's it. He's it. He's the beginning and the end. He was before there was anything, and he will be after there is nothing. He will still be. He always will be. Okay, so the number one points to unity. Now the name Pishon, I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, please excuse me. But Pishon means mouth in the masculine, and to scatter from one end to the other in the feminine, okay? In Hebrew, you'll have a masculine and feminine. All right, think about that. Okay, first there was God, and then mouth, and then scatter from end to end. What happened in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel? They built the tower, and they said, we're going to reach up to God. They were filled with pride and arrogance. So out of his mouth and out of their mouths, he said, I'm going to change your language where you can't understand each other, and then I'm going to scatter you all over the earth. And that's exactly what he did. God came down and confused their language so they all spoke differently. Okay, so you have unity, the Godhead, the Alpha, mouth, scatter. Okay, that's Pishon. That's the first river. All right? So the second river, the number two, means faithful witness and set apart. So God sent the disciples out two by two. The animals entered the ark two by two. And the word Gihon, the river, means gushed or birthed. So a faithful witness is birthed. Isn't that amazing? That's just the name of the river, the second river. Gihon, birthed. The number two, faithful witness set apart. You think the Lord's telling us something? Okay, let's look at the third river, the Tigris or the Hiddekel. It has dual names. Three is the number for perfect completion and perfect divinity. The number three, the third river. It can also be linked to a place of sacrifice. Genesis 22:4 says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place of sacrifice. On the third day, Jesus rose. Three crosses at Calvary. He was crucified the third hour. Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus restored him three times. Egypt, the wilderness, and the promised land. There's lots of threes in the word. And the Lord will do things. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He'll do things in three. It's the number for perfect completion and perfect divinity. It's his number. Threes are a big deal in the word. So anytime you see a three, or you see a series of things in a triad, in threes, it means something. The Lord's telling you something very important. You need to pay attention to that. Tigris, or Hiddekel, means to pierce or prick or thorns. In the verb form, it means rejoice. Isn't that awesome? So the Lord's definitely pointing to something here, just in the names of these rivers and in the numbers of rivers that there are. So let's go back and look. Okay, Pishon, number one, unity, the Godhead. He's the Alpha. Pishon means mouth and to scatter from one end to the other. Two, Gihon, the number means faithful witness or set apart. And Gihon means birthed or gushed. All right, three, Tigris or Hadakel, perfect completion, perfect divinity, sacrifice, pierce, prick, thorns, and rejoice. Okay, number four. We already discussed the number four, that God's doing something in his creation or in the world. The thing is, he's always doing something in his creation, isn't he? You know, the word says that he spoke and there was light. He spoke and there was word, creation, there was everything. The thing is, when he speaks, those words never end. They continue. They keep going forever and ever because his word is forever. He is forever. His word is forever. So when he speaks, it keeps going. So his creation, although he spoke it 57, 79 years ago, it keeps going. That's why we still have creation. Going. It's retro. It keeps moving. You know, we don't just have trees and then all of a sudden we don't have any trees. There's seasons and there's reaping and sowing and harvest. It just keeps going and going. His word just kept going. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And we took him at his word and here we are. And it just keeps going. Be fruitful. And multiply. We all got the multiplication part down. The fruit part sometimes we have trouble with. He meant to be fruitful in all things that we do. All of our relationships. Are you fruitful in your relationships? Or do your relationships start and then they die? How are your relationships? Are they good? Are you speaking to your family now? Do you have people in your family that you have broken relationships with? This would be a really good time to get before the Lord and ask him how to repair those. What do we do, Lord? How do we swallow our pride? How do we get past this? Work on those relationships this season. Okay, that was a rabbit trail, sorry. So four, creation, the Lord's doing something in his creation. Okay, Euphrates means good, noble, and fruit. There's that word fruit again. Fruit. You know, in the last days, it says that there are four angels that are bound up, that will be released under the sixth trumpet, and the Euphrates will completely dry up. Now, this is one of the biggest and most important rivers in Western Asia. Can you imagine how many people depend on the water of that river? Because I believe that we will already be gone. We will be raptured when that happens. But can you imagine the water wars that will happen if the Euphrates is completely dried up? And of course, you know, underneath the rivers, there's all kinds of treasures that have been lost and sunk and things. And so people will be just scrambling, trying to get water, and then trying to get the treasure that's underneath the Euphrates River. So good, noble, and fruit is Euphrates. So we have unity, mouth, scattered, faithful witness, birthed, perfect completion and divinity, sacrifice, pierced, thorns, God in the world, good, noble, and fruitful. Isn't that interesting? There it is. It was pointing to Jesus the whole time, from the very beginning. This was right after he had creation, the 6 days of creation, and he rested on the seventh, and he created man, and it says that he put this river to water the garden. He put this river here. But even in the names of the rivers, he was pointing to what he would do. He was pointing to Jesus. Okay, so how does this pertain to us? Is our life pointing to Jesus? Is everything that we're doing pointing to Jesus? Because it should. That's what he meant from the foundations of the world. You know, we're in the Hebrew, on the Hebrew calendar, we're in the year 5779, which started in September, and we're about to go into 2019. So we have the 9 at the end of both of those. 9 is the number of fruit. Isn't that interesting? I believe that this will be one of the most fruitful times that we've ever had. It will be one of the most fruitful years there's ever been. But, you know, it has a dual meaning also. 9 can also mean judgment. Now, judgment in the house of God, which is where it starts, is a good thing. Because it leads to repentance. When the Lord points something out in your life, don't run from him. Repent. That's all you have to do. All you have to do is get before him and repent. And repent means you actually do something different. You turn and you go a different direction. But I do believe that as the house of God repents, as the house of God gets serious about what the Lord's doing, as the house of God lets their lives point to Jesus, just like these four rivers pointed to Jesus, that we're going to see more fruit than we've ever seen in the history of mankind. Because there is coming a day when our Lord Jesus, when our King Jesus is going to split that sky, and he's going to come back radiant. He's going to come back victorious. And he's going to take us home with him. But before that happens, there's a lot of people that need to know him. There's a lot of people that need to know him. You guys, we got to tell them. We got to put down our pride. We got to turn off the TV. We got to put down our phones and put down Facebook and Instagram and all that. And we got to start talking to people. Discipleship is done like this, face to face, one at a time. Yeah, some people can fill big stadiums, but most people disciple just like this, one at a time. I've got Jesus in my heart. Do you know him? I need for you to know him. I need to know that you know him, because I can't have peace and walk away from you knowing that someday when the Lord comes back, you'll be left here, because it's going to be really, really bad. I can't know that someday when you leave this earth, when you die, and everyone will die, it's appointed once for a man to die and then judgment. Every one of us go that way if the Lord tarries. I can't have peace knowing that you won't make it to heaven. You guys, that should break our hearts. Our hearts should be broken for a world that's out there that doesn't know him. And I mean really know him. There's people in churches that don't really know him. There's people in churches that think all you do is come to church and go home and try to be good, and that's okay. You got to know him. You got to know him. and you know him just like you do discipleship, one-on-one, face-to-face, day at a time, walking it out. So just like these rivers pointed to Jesus, pointed to our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only one who is worthy of praise, the only one who deserves any glory, our lives should also point to Jesus in everything we do, everything we say. It should point there. Some of us have some stuff we got to unload. We need to unload some things. Things that are weighing us down. Things that don't mean anything. Because when he splits that sky, you ain't taking nothing with you. Not even your clothes. I think I better close my eyes. That's all that matters. In this Christmas season, that's all that matters. It's Jesus. It's our King Jesus. We're decorating for Christmas, and we do all this stuff, and I love it, and it's beautiful. But it can be stressful, because after everybody goes home, then we have to kind of undo some things and redo it. But I told the guys, I said, you know, next year, all we need is a manger right here. Just a manger. Because that's what it's about. It's just about the baby. It's just about the baby that was sent so that we could live. Our lives need to point toward that baby. Our lives need to point toward him in everything we do, everything we say. And we need to go out and tell people. Some of you need to tell your families. You've been so afraid that they would talk about you. I got news for you. They're talking about you anyway. You might as well just put away your pride and talk to them about the Lord. You know, ask the Lord to help you. Ask him to give you revelation. Just like he gave me revelation on this and what this meant. He's good. He's a good father. And he loves you. And he wants you to tell people. We got to do it. It's up to us. There's not really a plan B. It's just us. And he means for us to do it. So I would just encourage you this season. Get those relationships right. Get your relationship here right. And point to Jesus. All season long, point to Jesus. Let's pray. King Jesus, the one who is worthy, the only one that deserves glory, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're rich and complicated and complex, and you're a mystery. Lord, thank you that you show us the deep things. Thank you that you show us the mystery of who you are. You show us the mystery and you point to your Son. You show us the mystery and you show us your love. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray a grace on everyone this holiday season that has broken relationships. Father, Lord, help them to put you first again. Help them to make you the priority. Help them to have a grace for forgiveness, just like you had with us, and to show tender mercy and loving kindness. And Father, we love you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Holy, holy, holy is your name. The one who was and is to come. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.